Mr. Phil Denny, what's going on?
Hey, what's up?
Oh, you're what's up? What's going on? You you are actually what's up.
Back on the line with you.
Oh, God. It's been a while, Phil. But actually, it hadn't been too long. It's been about a year.
Yeah, I think the last time we spoke, I was out in California, and we, I don't know if we talked about Crossover or The Messenger or both, but either way, it was a good interview, and it was our introduction to each other, so...
Yes, we talked about both. It was we talked about both, and I got to see you live, so that was definitely a plus.
Right.
That was definitely a plus. Such a good time. But I'm glad to be talking with you again about your latest upcoming on July 1st Upswing album. Wow, Phil, what is? I mean, really, congratulations. First of all, I am so happy for you. Oh, so happy.
Thank you. I'm excited. I'm really excited.
Well. I think from what I read and see on social media, your fans are too. They are jumping, I mean, like, at the bits, like, oh my gosh, can we hurry up July 1st?
Right. It is. We started early promotion, you know, like, probably, well, you know, I've just been social throughout the process, you know, but just kind of careful and mindful about not putting too much out there, but enough teasers to keep, you know, people informed as to the progress and how that, you know, we're nearing the release, you know, the activity's just been ramping up, and yeah, it seems that there's a level of excitement out there, which, you know, hopefully will be reflected in the support of the music.
Yes, definitely. Phil, you the album was written and produced by Nate Harrison and yourself. Now, I know that's your buddy. I know you guys work very, very well together. So, I personally, when I talk about Phil Denny, which I often do to other artists, I always applaud the fact that you are basically your own best PR. As a matter of fact, I use you as an example many, many times to, I do feel to other artists and just as an example of how to do this thing.
Right. Yeah. There's definitely a process, you know, and I think we talked about it before, mm-hmm. You know, having some business background, my degree's in business administration and marketing. And, you know, having that understanding, I think, you know, helps me. And it's a full-time job, you know, and when I agreed to sort of, you know, go forward with this pursuit, that's something that I had to, you know, commit to in addition to, you know, picking up the saxophone, playing, writing, recording, traveling, and so forth. But it's a good balance. I'm enjoying it.
Yes, and you, again, you show... That is it may not be easy, but it can be done because you do it and you do it quite well. Let me just add that in there. You know, you do. I mean, you do. I don't know how you strike the balance, but you do it and maintain and stay creative in the process and don't lose that. You know, don't lose your creative side due to the business side. You see what I'm saying?
Gotcha.
And that's awesome. So tell me, what did you do differently approaching this project, Phil, than Crossover and The Messenger? Was there anything in particular different?
You know, I feel, you know, first and foremost, as you mentioned earlier, Nate and I worked very closely together on this project, but I wanted to express a little bit more creative liberty on this project, and still keeping with, you know, the commercialism of the Phil Denny sound that people had become accustomed to.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe just a little less commercial, maybe take a little more risk, maybe show a little bit more of myself, you know, maybe give people a little more flavor from, you know, what people may hear in a live performance situation.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Crossover was my first album. It was my debut project, and I played it a little safe in terms of, you know, just being genuine. Not that Crossover wasn't genuine, but it was my first step into kind of an unknown world of music.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, now that I've got kind of a foothold and I've got my name out there, I just felt like, you know, I could take a little bit more risk. I can write with just a little bit more freedom. And, you know, we can kind of expand the production. Nate, of course, does a great job helping me with taking those ideas, those creative concepts, and putting them into, you know, full production. And, of course, we've got a great group of people on the project to help. And, you know, some new people that I had, you know, record on the album, mm-hmm. that I think really just gave it a well-rounded sound. So to answer the question, I think, you know, really just wanted to take a more creative approach. It was a 2-year writing process. You know, I just took my time. I did things. I think I still do things a little bit non-traditional in terms of writing music. Just kind of hone in on what it is that I'm looking to achieve, and then at the end of the day, just try and write creative melodies that people, I think, will enjoy.
Well, and that you did, my friend. Wonderful, wonderful album. It also features a few of your friends, like Julian Vaughn, Alex Silk, and singer Confidence Killon. Let me just tell you, when you talk about being creative and you know, just spreading your wings, if you will, on this project versus crossover, it definitely is evident, because I kept thinking, you know, having seen you live, when listening to Upswing, I can almost literally see you performing. It's crazy, because it's like I hear it like I think I would see it almost. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's cool. And you know, sometimes when I'm in my studio writing, I will stand up and perform the song and act out as though, you know, I want the song to be perceived that way. And you know, even my wife, when sharing some of the music with her through the writing process and the pre-production, she would say, "Well, this sounds like a Phil Denny song." Like, and that's a good thing, I think, to accomplish as an artist, especially when you're trying to grow and you just kind of develop your artistry. Every you know, musician is looking for that signature sound, and you know, that's something that's kind of cool, I think, to achieve. I'm glad that you heard that.
True, and honestly, I felt the same way. I was listening to it again today, and I thought that, I mean, I said the same thing. I said, it sounds like Phil Denny. Like, that's Phil Denny. And it sounded like Phil Denny. I can't put it any other way. But yes, this sounds like Phil Denny. When I hear it, I will know that's Phil Denny.
That's great.
Yeah, so that's a good thing, Phil. And it didn't take you long to get there, if you know what I mean. You know, it didn't take you multiple years to get to that point where, you know, you have established something that is yours. Clearly.
Right.
So
yeah, and you know, honestly, just got to give it up to all the fans that support it, you know, the radio stations, people like yourself that take time out to do the interviews and to write about the music. That's really what you know, has helped to propel me to where I am today on the forefront of Upswing.
Well, there are 10 songs on Upswing, like and a bonus track, and we're gonna talk about these, and you can kinda give what I did was kinda, as I listened to it over and over again, I kind of felt my way through it, and my take on what the song is making me feel and think, and in comparison to what you meant it, or most of the time, 99.9% of the time, Phil, I'm spot on. Let me just tell you, I'm spot on. So, but you know, these are your babies. Yeah, so these are your babies. These are your babies. But so you can tell me, okay, Monica, no, yes. So we're going to start with Digging On. Now, first of all, the name got me. I thought, I couldn't figure that part out. I still ain't figured that part out. You can tell me. But it is a great song. It is completely soulful. I call it a soulful groove with an intimate vibe. That's how I call that song. And you get the background vocals by Soul Dream Dolly. Tell me about that. Digging On, what does that mean?
Yeah, well, Digging On, you know, in crossover, I sort of, I think there was a little bit more of the pop influence than there was the R&B influence, I have much more of an R&B influence, and I wanted to start the record with that vibe, you know, kind of that you know, you experienced, a more soulful vibe, just to kind of set the tone of the record, but then that's almost like, you know, the start of the entire ride, because, you know, Upswing takes you, you know, from, you know, here to there, every place, for the full experience. And, you know, the Digging On title just kind of came to me because it's something that I would say was, you know, something as part of maybe like, you know, the urban influence that I have, you know, being inner city and having, you know, just a very deep connection with a variety of cultures and so forth, just like, to say that little bit of slang, say, Digging On. Well, what is it that you're digging on? You know, it's kind of an open-ended title that leads the listener to go, well, I'm digging on this, I'm digging on you, I'm digging on
yes,
you, I'm
digging yes.
So, yeah, you know, and that's actually myself and Soul Deacon Dolly, who is a vocalist from Detroit, that I brought in to just add a little bit more grit to the background vocals. So when you do hear you know, that vocal tagline is myself and Soul Deacon in the studio, just kind of having fun with a little digging on phrase that I came up with, just to add that little bit of vocal and soulful element to the track.
Well, a mission accomplished. Mission accomplished, because that is exactly what it is. It is definitely a nothing but a soulful, groovy vibe. Wonderful job.
All right.
Now, your first single, that everybody is loving on social media right now, Soak It Up. Everybody's like, okay, this is a hot song. To me, it's so lively. It's full of life. It's
yes.
And it's finger snapping, head bobbing, lively. It is.
Yeah, and Soak It Up has a fun story, and it's, you know, probably something that, you know, other artists can relate to. You know, I wanted to have an up-tempo experience for my live performance. The heaviest groove that I had on Crossover for live, you know, participation was Sweet Party, but it was still a mid-tempo groove. I didn't have anything that was up-tempo that could really get the audience on their feet, dancing and so forth. So I wanted to have that kind of a track on the album that would translate well live. So Nate actually came up with the foundation of this track and sent it to me probably 4 or 5 months ago. And initially, Monica, my reaction was, I don't know if I'm really feeling this, because it was so, like, outside of the Phil Denny box that I didn't know if it was going to, you know, gel well with my musical personality, if it was going to fit the flow of the record. But the more I sat on it, I stepped away from it, got back to it, started writing to it, you know, this creative chorus line came to me, then I started to construct the verses, and it just seemed to kind of flow together. And it was actually one of the later two that we finished recording, and I think for that reason I hit like a wall in terms of how to title or theme this song.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, up until about a week before we were finalized with mix, I was, you know, still struggling with a name. So Nate had called me and said, hey, man, I got this idea for the track title. How about Soak It Up? And I was like, I dig that. Like, that really fits, because it's got this, you know, fun summertime feel, like you said, up-tempo, head-bopping kind of a thing.
Yes.
You know, what a better feeling and emotion to experience when you're soaking something up, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, that was the first single that goes to radio Monday, June 22nd. And, you know, I just thought, after talking with my radio promoter, that with the feel and vibe of the tune and the fact that I'm coming out in the summer, it was a timely release to come out with a song like that, so...
I mean, well, yes, yeah, like folks say, soak up the sun. Yeah, soak it up. Perfect. I mean, it's perfect. Well done. I'm glad you sat on it, but decided to, let me do something with this, because, I mean, now look and see what happened. You got your first single out of that.
And like I said, it was just one of those things that, I wasn't really 100% on, and then, at the end of the day, it's the first single out to radio from the new project.
Well, you mentioned earlier that Upswing is definitely a, not only a variety, but it does take you different places. And there's nothing more beautiful to me than a project that can take you many places. You know, at any twist and turn, you know, you turn a corner and, oh, my God, now what's next? And you definitely do that with this project. And so... after Soak It Up, you have Flutter, which has Matt Godina on guitar. And to me, it is so soothing. It is so soothing that, you know, I'm going from you know, my head bobbing, finger snapping to this soothing melody that is just like, you know, I love it. Now, the name, when I think of Flutter, I think of butterflies.
Mm-hmm.
So...
sure.
Tell me why you titled that Flutter, or where did that come from?
Yeah. You know, the thing about me and titling songs, most of the music in the format doesn't have a vocal connection.
Right.
Doesn't have a vocal presence. So really the song title, I think, should either, one, make you feel like an emotion, and then you can tie the song title to it, or some way to be able to explain the song. And, you know, I may have, you know, song titles in, like, a database, and I might resort back to them and see if they make sense, or I might title of a song from an inspiration, or it might hit me because of the groove. And mm-hmm. in this particular case, Flutter hit me at some point because the opening saxophone line in the tune is actually a Flutter trill on the soprano saxophone. And the song is, it's the most flirtatious song on the record, still having, you know, somewhat of like a sexy appeal to
yes.
it. Definitely a more flirtatious vibe. And Flutter just seemed like a fun title, and it's the opening line on the saxophone, and it was just like a good marriage.
There it is.
Flutter was attractive, and it seemed to fit the tune.
Well, thank you for, first of all, schooling me on the Flutter on the saxophone. Appreciate that.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
You can do a Flutter tongue. You can do a Flutter trill with your finger. You know,
hey,
so that's
it makes total sense to me. And from now on, I'm going to be listening.
Yeah. Well, that horn player just did that Flutter.
That is exactly what you have done to me. Now you put that in my head. But that's a good thing, you know. But I just the fact that the name alone, it really does, despite what it is quite an interesting, you know, it does make you say, you know, wow, what is that? So, and you're listening for it in the song. You're listening for that sense of whatever that could mean to you in the song. So,
right.
That's always good. Now, I personally love Stand Together, which features Julian Vaughn. I got to tell you, I recently interviewed him about his new project, and we talked about all the various projects he was working on. And, you know, he's just, you got to love Julian.
Yeah.
Got to love Julian. I love this song.
Good.
I don't know what you did, but.
Well, the inspiration, you know, I wanted to have a track that kind of pulled together an emotion I think that I was experiencing throughout the entire process of recording this. And the reason that Julian came to mind is because he and I had the opportunity last summer to travel to Kenya together. And I wanted this track to kind of be the staple tune that expresses a level of, just kind of understanding and emotion of passion and emotion of compassion. Because of all the world events that are taking place right now, you know, we just experienced this, you know, massacre in South Carolina and all the things that are happening just throughout the world. And it's just my song that I wanted to, contribute to, you know, the time of today, just to say, hey, you know, we're all human. We're all part of the human race. Let's mm-hmm. get back to some level of understanding of, you know, what it is to be human, and just, you know, kind of embrace humanity and just kind of stand up, rise together, stand together. And it just seemed to fit because, you know, Julian and I traveled to Africa together. And then I brought in Eddie Gray from Kenya. He was another guitarist that I met in Kenya. So you hear Eddie Gray on the guitar, and it just kind of gives you this chilling feeling just that, you know, you can stand up and be prideful and just kind of come together and just kind of experience that we are one feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And that conversation, I think, comes out between Julian and I. I wrote the song specifically for Julian, thinking about, well, how would a lead bass player, how would Julian Vaughn, you know, play this particular melody? And, you know, he was in agreement to do the track, and I'm thankful that not only him, but his record label would allow him to appear on the project. And then, you know, just like I said, just kind of create that emotion that hopefully people can relate to.
Well, that must be, without knowing the background for the song, that must be what captured my attention and what felt so good about it, without even knowing it, that it was just something about it that really caught my attention immediately. So I guess that, hey, now I know the story, it makes sense.
Yeah, just to have that level of, like, passion just kind of come through and just be absorbed, you know, just to, I think, to be able to have the listener feel that, you know, I could almost envision like a slideshow presentation be put to that track, because I think it has so much just build up, you know.
But right.
There's a conversation that's happening, so I think as an artist, like, you understand, you hear that, and you feel it.
Right. Because what I also noticed, you know, and it's funny you say conversation, because I almost wrote that. I literally almost thought, well, this is definitely a conversation between feel, and Jillian, that is exactly what I thought as I was listening to it. And then I kind of just, you know, melted it down to, you know, it's just the chemistry between the two was just very, very evident. So
yeah,
still in line.
You did a great job on the track, and you know, the vocal tag that you hear in there at the very top
mm-hmm.
of the track and throughout the song, the staying together. That was my best Tupac Shakur impression. You know, got to get on the mic and, you know,
feel
a little something for the people.
Phil, oh my goodness, you are so funny to me. You are funny.
When you hear that, you know, think of Tupac.
I am. I'm going to think of Denny Tupac.
Or Common, you know, somebody that's got, like, just the gift of being a wordsmith.
Right.
Speaking out to the people.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the reason I did that.
Now you're going to make me go back and listen to it. You're going to make me go back and listen to Tupac Denny. Oh.
Right.
I love it.
But you never know where you're going to get the influence. You know, you sit back and you listen to stuff and you go, hey, that might have been added there because, you know, I listened to this kind of music back in the day when I was growing up. Or
right.
I listened to this kind of music, you know, throughout the recording process.
Well, I tell you what, I love how you use your influences. In like even in Crossover, you said it was had a more pop feel, and this one has a more R&B feeling. Well, just the fact that you are able to incorporate those, and I'm sure you got many more in you, you know, to pull from many more influences to pull from. This is only the beginning for Phil Denny. My God, this is so the beginning. So I'm sure we'll hear over time many influences from Phil Denny. And I appreciate that because it shows you're not just some like in a box. You may have a Phil Denny box, but you're not in a box. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. I understand. Sure.
And that's appreciated. And now, Ollie Silk. Now I love Ollie Silk. He's done some fabulous things, and you feature him on piano on the funky. That's what I call it. Funky, Shaken Not Stirred. Totally the title totally says it all.
Yeah,
kind of sorta. But Ollie's playing is like, okay, all right, Ollie. We know why you're featured now.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been a fan of Ollie Silk for a long time, even before I started, you know, recording music. And I had the opportunity last year, well, in 2012, I had the opportunity to meet Ollie at the Dubai International Jazz Festival. We just kicked it off. We knew that we had, like, some chemistry and had hoped at some point we could connect, you know, on a recording project. Then last year, we did a couple shows together here in Michigan. I hosted them at my jazz series, and we had the opportunity to hang out, kick it, have a couple cocktails, and just, you know, just kind of form that friendship through, you know, just some good camaraderie. And I knew that I wanted to invite Ollie if his label was in agreement, and they were, Trippin' and Rhythm Records. And I just had this fun kind of bouncing feeling about a tune, and that's a lot of times, you know, the way you'll hear an Ollie Silk track played. So I wrote this melody, and the shaker kind of vibe just kind of came about in the production. And then, you know, being that Ollie was from the UK,
mm-hmm.
and this kind of shaker vibe feeling, I thought, you know, how would he like his martini? You know, shaking that. So it just kind of tied into the whole, you know, British James Bond thing, but just kind of a fun tune that I thought was appropriate for the track.
It is. It's kind of, I mean, it's totally like, just like funky. It was just funky. And again, coming off of Staying Together, it kind of, again, we're on a, you know, we're on this journey, which is now taking another turn, and pulled us back into that more funky uptune vibe you got going on. And then you go with Dally Walk, and to me, point blank, it sounds just like it feels. It feels like it sounds. It's light and it's mellowing.
Yeah.
And I had no clue.
Very mellowy.
Yeah. I don't know where you got Dally Walk from. Now that one, you got me on that one too. So you got to tell me where that came from. Because I'm like, what?
Yeah. Yeah, that's my creative mind. You know, my marketing side going to work, trying to make a title make sense. you know, I had originally written this song for another trumpet player, and ultimately my friend and graduate of Michigan State University, Anthony Stanko, came through and recorded this tune live in studio with Nate and I, and he did a fabulous job. Young guy, more straight-ahead player. He's traveled the world doing things. I think he's got a bright future ahead of him, and he just has a great flugel sound. And the inspiration behind this tune actually came from the old Chuck Mangione records I used to listen to. I'm a big Chuck Mangione fan. And I've always loved and appreciated the sound of a tenor saxophone and a flugel together. And I wanted to have, you know, some kind of a duet feature on the record. And Dally Walk was, you know, just the right feel. And, you know, the term Dally comes from, you know, just kind of, you know, you've heard people say, like, dilly-dally.
Mm-hmm,
you
know, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Kind of be lazy.
Mm-hmm,
you're
mm-hmm.
moving kind of at your own pace. You're slow. That was the idea, because it's just like this summertime feel. Like, you can take life at your own pace. You can dally walk through the park. You can, you know, dally walk through whatever it is, you know, that you want
yes.
to.
Yes.
And it just means, like, hey, you know, it's cool just to slow down and take it at your own pace. And that was the idea behind Dally Walk, because it just kind of gave me that feel. Like, if I just want to kick it and walk through the park, this is the right song, just, you know, to set the tone.
Wow. So light and mellowing is perfectly, that's exactly what it is. And that's exactly what you hear. Again, you hear that. That comes across in, when you listen to it. So, oh,
nice.
Good. I'm on a roll now. I'm almost at the end. Right. I'm almost finished, and I'm on a roll. But now the title track, Upswing. Now, let me just tell you, on the entire album, Phil, you did your thing. However, comma, I got to tell you, on Upswing, all I said was that dude did his thing. Like, I did. It is smooth, but it's soulful. So it. I was like, whoa, Phil, like, really? You're killing it. I did. I was like, whoa, he did his thing. I love it. I love it. I love it. What made this when become your the title of the project?
Yeah, this is a track that we worked on some, you know, earlier on in the production, and it didn't have the title Upswing initially, but, you know, over time it just seemed to make sense as the title track, just to kind of, you know, once a song hits you and you receive that level of emotion, then things start to make sense.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Upswing is the title track because, you know, people have told me from the start, like, hey, Phil, I've been watching you, you know, from the beginning. It's great to see your momentum. It's great to see, you know, you did your crossover project. Things seem to, you know, really be taking off for you. Things seem to be looking up to you. And I just kind of took what all the people have said to me, and it just provided me with that courage and that confidence that, hey, I could move forward and pursue my passion the way I am and, you know, have this upward trend. And Upswing, you know, means exactly that.
Yes.
You know, the title kind of came as a result of feedback from the people and the certain feeling, you know, that I've been experiencing. But, you know, Upswing, and the funny thing about it is people sometimes tell me I look like Adam Levine. So I wanted this pop track that sort of embodied, like, this Maroon 5, like, pop feel. And, you know, so we started listening to some different things like that, Maroon 5, some other, you know, pop tracks. And, you know, that influence kind of came out, I think, in Upswing. It's got this really cool, like, arpeggiated guitar, and the chord changes are a little bit reminiscent of a U2 or a Sting vibe when you listen to the choruses. But then all of a sudden, you go to a more current-day pop sound, like what you might experience in the Moon By track, for example. And then that whole you know, ensemble kind of became the look, the image, the title of the album and everything. Even though I wanted to focus in a little bit more on the R&B stuff, that pop image, that pop vibe is still, like, what the people have become familiar with associating with my name and my music.
Yes.
And, you know, I had fun. There's a lot of horns, there's a lot of harmonies, there's a lot of doubles. Matt Godina killed the guitar solo at the end, you know, because you just want to keep, like, within the integrity of the song. I said, Matt, just lay down a cool solo, stay, you know, kind of in that pop feel without, like, going into left field.
Right.
And he just laid it out. I was like, oh, man, you did something on this guitar solo. And then, you know, the bridge is real funky, and it's a fun tune.
It is.
I'm real happy with the way it came out. Yeah, they did a great job mixing the two. That was probably one of the more difficult tracks to mix on the record. So props to Nate Harrison sound design for that.
Wow. Well, you give us a love song. It's what I call a love song. It's got to be a love song. It's the first time, and it features singer Confidence Killian. I got to tell you.
Killian.
Oh, I forgot the I in it. Killian. Let me just tell you that I thought, I listened to it like I had to hit repeat because I had to go back and take it in again. Like, okay, now I'm listening to it. Okay, now let me go back and really listen to it. Let me hear this again. Let me soak it up. And I was like, okay, sexy. Okay, not as sexy as Amorous, which now that right there is my like number two favorite. That's now you know that's Phil.
That's
you. Oh my gosh, Phil! I gotta tell you, you know that was one of my top two. You know that was one of my top two. I said, okay. It's beautiful. First of all, it's beautiful. Now I'm to my Amorous. Now it's beautiful, but it is sexy and it's lovely. It's all of that embodied in one. It's not just a sexy song. It's a sexy, loving, kind, sweet, all that song.
Yeah.
But the first time. Is also just what I would call just it's just a love song, and the words, the lyrics say it all. Period.
Yeah, with the first time, and you know that was a fun tune because Nate and I had worked on the production of the track and hadn't really identified a vocalist yet. So I reached out to a friend of mine in Detroit and said, "Hey, this is what I'm looking for. I wanted this youthful, like Chris Brown type of a vibe." And, you know, so we found Confidence, hadn't met him yet, so we met him, we kind of interviewed the voice for the record, and said, hey, this is what we're working with, we want to leave the lyrical content up to you guys, so you guys can bring something, you know, to the table that's unfiltered. Like, we're not going to give you any vocal direction other than this needs to have a mature sound, because Confidence is only 21 years old.
Wow.
You know, he's working on some projects of his own that might appeal to a more youthful audience. So we wanted, you know, lyrical content that could appeal to, you know, anybody. And, you know, I knew that I wanted to have a vocal track, vocal R&B track on the record. And, you know, they, him and his partner, who's a vocal coach, manager, and co-writer, Marcus, came together into the studio, and we were just impressed. And he came in, you know, in a matter of just a couple of hours, we tracked all of his vocal session.
And wow.
We're really just happy that it turned out the way that it did, especially not knowing Confidence, not having that relationship with him. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, for such a young kid, I think he really just set himself up. I said, you know, this is going to be an international release, so hopefully, you know, your social media thing will take off, you know, more than it already is. But he's doing some big things on his own, and it's just going to be great to see, you know, what happens as a result of our collaboration together.
And I love his name. I mean, I love that name. If nothing else, that got me before anything else got me. I thought, whoa, you know,
yeah.
Perfect. Now, I'm going to let you tell me about Valair, because that is the one song that I kind of listened to, and I could, you know, I just wanted to listen to it. I couldn't, I didn't want to, you know, dissect it. I didn't want to do anything but just listen to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Valair is what I like to call my anthem track.
Okay.
It's my anthem song. It's also the track that's last on the record for a reason, because I think it leaves the listener with an expectation of a sequel, and that's my goal. And Valair is just this aggressive, passionate track that seems to evoke that level of emotion. And it starts, it's very aggressive, but then at some point in the track, it just kind of diffuses. The long, drawn-out saxophone, there's a little more heavy reverb on it. I can kind of picture myself as though I'm like a warrior going through, you know, this battle, and at the end of the day, like, I'm lifted up again because I can feel strong and courageous that I can continue to move on. And that's what Valier means in Latin, to be strong and to be courageous.
Wow.
And, you know, just kind of like provide that reassurance, you know, to the listener or to myself that, hey, like, I'm going to continue to go in, you know, this upward trend, this upswing direction that, you know, I feel that I've been afforded with the support of, you know, fans and listeners. And then to have that sensation of there may be something else coming from this as a result of, you know, the project upswing. So I like to consider it my anthem song. I think it's the one track on the song that I think I always get a little choked up to, because it's just, I think that the listener, it's my hope that the listener can feel that level of passion in my playing, especially through the bridge and the outro chorus into the ending of the track.
Wow, Phil. With that, I just got chill bumps because that, no, I mean, no, seriously, because not only is its meaning powerful, yeah, but the fact that I couldn't really do anything, but just, I couldn't do anything but just listen. That is the only song on the album that I couldn't put my, I mean, I just couldn't put anything to. I really just had to listen. So that's eerie. But
it's one of those tracks that, like, less is more. And, you know, I kind of lead that whole tune through a very simplistic but, you know, catchy, I feel, verse and chorus.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like, if you turn your TV on silent and you watch a segment from, like, the movie 300 or something,
mm-hmm,
like,
mm-hmm,
it would all make sense to you if you did that. Like, play that track and watch a war sequence from 300. And you'll get the sensation of, wow, maybe I feel what Phil is talking about. So, as weird as it may sound, like, that's how I, when I wrote, you know, the bridge of the tune,
right,
and I wrote, you know, certain aspects of the song, I felt like I wanted to be a warrior. And
wow.
That's the idea, and that's why I became the anthem track.
Oh, Phil, you're just awesome. You're the best. I love it. You're the best, and you're definitely on the upswing. You, no doubt about it. But I'm not going to get into talking about you because, you know, I am definitely a Phil Denny fan and a believer in what you do. You give fans a bonus track, Radio Flyer, and it is just what a great treat, because it's got that up tempo again, and it feels good. And it's groovy.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, okay, let's send you guys on here with this nice vibe. You know, I opened you up
right
with this, you know, on this, you know, finger snapping, fun, lively tune. And now I'm going to send you on out of here with this groovy feeling, mm-hmm, you know, this nice vibe.
Right.
It's kind of hot. I like
it. And that track was put on as a bonus track purposely because not only did it, you know, not only does it attempt to accomplish what you've just said, but the Radio Flyer track appeared on the 2013 release, The Messenger. But because Radio Flyer is an original composition, and it was included on a holiday record, I don't feel that it got attention that it would if it were on a non-holiday release.
Right.
So my goal is for the people that, you know, may not have been hip to The Messenger or may not typically support a holiday album, they'll have this track as a brand new experience. And it does just that. So once you come out of the anthem track, you know, you have this certain emotion like, okay, what's next? And you're not really sure what's going on because, you know, you may be feeling some kind of way. Then you get picked up by Radio Flyer and you just kind of go to a whole nother place.
Definitely, Phil. That's exactly what happened. So I mean, it couldn't have been a better way to begin Upswing or to end it. I mean, it's kind of all poetic, actually. It really is. So I know that the rest of this year is going to be like a roller coaster ride for you, because you are about to, you know, once July 1st hits, it is on.
Yeah, I've got some really exciting shows coming up. You know, I'm preparing, obviously, for the hometown release on July 11th, but this weekend I'm heading up to Traverse City for the Wine and Art Festival, and then, as I shared with you before, I'll be opening for Brian Culberson on July 8th at Shane Park in Detroit.
Yep. So
I'm really excited about that.
Yep.
First time I've had the opportunity to meet Brian, see his show. So I'm hoping some good things will come as a result of, you know, he and I being able to connect.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, then I'm heading to California for the CD release at Spagatini on July 18th. And then I'll find myself back in California in October, traveling to Colorado. All of those dates are on the website, BillDenny.com. But yeah, still looking for opportunities to perform the music. I got some really cool things in the works right now that are already scheduled. And, you know, otherwise, just keep them connected and, you know, hoping for the best.
And that's all social media. That's Twitter. That's Facebook. That's, are you on Instagram, Phil?
Instagram, yeah. Instagram.
I supposed to know that. I do know that. Forgive my brain. I'm like, I know Phil's on Instagram. What's up? Phil, okay, yeah. So PhilDenny.com is the website, and on all your social media, is it just Phil Denny? At Phil Denny or what?
Yeah, actually, for Facebook, it's Phil Denny, and then my Twitter and my Instagram are Phil on Sax.
Phil on Sax. Okie dokie. Yeah. Well, one thing I can assure fans and listeners is that information, you do a fantastic job with keeping the information out there on what, when, and where. So that is, you know, the good thing about Phil Denny's social media. You keep us informed, and we appreciate that. You don't make us go hunt too hard. you keep it right there. Phil, my friend, I could not be more thrilled. Honestly, I'm so happy for you. I pray I get to see you this year, perform Upswing.
Yeah.
I gotta make that happen. I gotta make that happen. So in the meantime, you get ready for your opening show and your local shows, and I will keep up with you and stay in touch, and hopefully I'll see you soon, my friend.
Okay, great. And hey, thanks again for the interview.
Oh, you're always welcome, Phil. Thank you for the music. Thank you for Upswing. Thank you for a wonderful entry into the summer. Thank you. What a wonderful way to kick it off. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it. Yeah, thank you very much.
Talk to you later.
All right.
Bye-bye.